Today we are speaking with Eric Gilea from... Oh my gosh, we have to find out what the name of the... Because you're not Brooklyn Chocolate anymore. You're now what, Eric?
Point Gilea Chocolat.
Oh, you see? Okay.
Oui. L'atelier du chocolat.
L'atelier du chocolat. Okay, that sounds very good.
Elegant name.
Okay. You first started out in the patisserie, not in chocolate. Tell us a little bit about how you started in France.
Yeah, I'm starting... When 14-year-old, I'm starting something at Arbeit. When Gabriel Payasson is my chef for 3 years, 1960.
We won't say.
And I love chocolate. So basically, I work pastry and I have a project first time 1995, when I come to New York, I went to open chocolate business. So I want to make different chocolate. I want to go spice, Asia, fusion. So I go 1999, I go Korea for 2 years, Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
When 2 years go training, I make a training because I'm a corporate chef for fusion, Asia. Voilà.
And now you're fully in chocolate. You're no longer in pastry anymore.
No more pastry. Uh-huh. I love chocolate, and because my father is a chocolate maker from France, and my grandfather is a chocolate maker from France too before, so I think it's on the blood. It's a genetic.
Okay. So you have the ganache within you.
I have ganache.
What is it about chocolate that makes the French, Europe is basically the land of chocolate. Everybody knows, you know, chocolates are really refined, wonderful things. I've been to Latin America, so I've seen where it's produced, but it's not produced in its state that people can buy chocolate here or in the United States. So what is it that makes chocolate specifically European? How did they make the process, and how did they make chocolate the perfect thing
for make a best process, you need to buy a nice cocoa beans, and is a nice plantation. Is a change everything, because before is everything from Ivory Coast. So only Ivory Coast is a stay is 40,000 pounds every year from cocoa bean. And after everybody want to go for cocoa bean, something Venezuela, Ecuador. Now everybody want to go because it's good. It's a good market. It's a, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the same company bought from Venezuela, from Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And now farmer go cocoa beans, because it's good profit. I think it's good for farmer too.
What have you seen in the changes of chocolate now in the market? It seems like everybody wants to make chocolate. How easy or how difficult is it to make chocolate?
Difficult. I think first when you make chocolate, you need to love chocolate. The first one, something a baker when you make a bread, you need to first love a bread or cooking. I think first is the point. Because everybody want to make chocolate because I want to make a profit. I think for me, the wrong way. It's the best for chocolate maker. If you love chocolate, you make a good product. And after, maybe you make a money.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're a man who comes from a family of chocolatier.
Yeah.
So, That gives you the incentive, I think. You have the pride and the generations behind you who made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As every food, when you make something, if you make a nice bread, or you make a nice cooking, a nice pastry, a nice chocolate, you make people happy, very happy. If your bread or chocolate, people make nice bread, oh, it's very, very good, something, I don't know, something...
And how different is it to make chocolate rather than making, like, pastry? Is there a definite... there's an organization to making chocolate, but is it a completely different thing?
Yeah, it's completely different because this is a different
material,
different flavor, and different way what you think. For me, I use basically spice, mm-hmm. Flour... rose, lavender, so it's different way, it's more complicated because it's, when you're starting, you don't know. If example, you make a ganache, a rose ganache, how long is rose test on the ganache, so you need to fix. If you make a vanilla, chocolate, stay vanilla, okay. Chef light ganache is 4 weeks, 6 weeks, it's still vanilla. But different flavors disappear after 1 week, uh-huh. 2 weeks. So you need to fix the flavor, something trimoline or glucose.
So you're really you're like a chemist or a scientist.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too that you're saying that the flavors diminish after a while because... Yeah. I don't think it lasts long enough for people to stop eating it, so you don't have that problem of something going to waste with chocolate.
Yeah, and then you need to make a training for American people, because now the culture changes, people go more bittersweet, because for me now chocolate is too much sweet, so you need to educate when people for... Better taste, real taste. When you have chocolate, vanilla, taste is vanilla, coffee is coffee.
Do you think there's a terroir in chocolate, a certain flavor that comes from a certain area? Can you distinguish the different tastes?
Some chocolate, maybe vintage chocolate, pure origin, mm-hmm. something the chocolate from Ecuador, mm-hmm. or from Venezuela. I think, yeah, because it's different part of the
soil and the...
Yes.
The,
yeah. And some from Africa is one small village. It's a starting for pure origin, something terroir.
Yeah, like AOC.
I forget the name. What is the name? I don't know. Some people want to go different cooperative. They want some farmers want to go separate. This uh-huh. cooperative wants special.
Oh, so specific, he distinguishes himself from the other ones.
Specific terroir.
You have like Jacques Delez in New York, who has his big factory, and there's so many people opening chocolate businesses. How do you find it in comparison to France? The quality of chocolate makers here.
I think people, some people make nice, some people make very nice, some people is something mod, because the market grow up for chocolate, so some people go make chocolate. My question is, how long people stay on the business? Uh-huh. That's it.
So
because basically state is a mod. It's everybody want to open restaurant, okay, everybody go on. How long is the stay on the business? Because business is not 1 month, 2 months, or 1 year. Business for me is 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. It's
sure.
The business.
So you create your own mold in a sense, that you're the ones who are creating it. So a lot of people are doing it for a trend then.
Yeah. Basically state is a mod. You understand?
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Everybody, okay, this guy the guy, example, Jacques Pépin, he make a nice food. Everybody want to go French culinary.
And be Jacques Pépin.
We maybe imagine Jacques Pépin, so it's good for some culture.
Uh-huh. Do you think that I was in France, and I find that when I eat the pastry there, or even the food, that it has a completely different taste. That it's not so sweet, the pastry, that it has, like, there may be, a lot of people say that French pâtissiers are the chemists. They have, like, every chemist, they have, like, every sort of stabilizer and everything. But for me, I found everything really fresh and really amazing. I mean,
yeah.
And when you come here in America, you find everything, like, really overly sweet, maybe, and yeah. There's no real balance. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, it's true, because this maybe 100 years ago, or 150 years ago, when Germany or Italian people come, Italian basically is pastry is very, very sweet. Germany basically is sweet. So it's
The happy medium, the French.
Yeah, it's a style, so.
A combination.
Generation to generation, people eat sweet.
Uh-huh.
And French people prefer not too much.
Not as much sweet.
Not too much sweet, because before it's very, very sweet, French pastry, but culture change mm-hmm. real. Everything is simple. Some way the real test. You uh-huh. understand? Real,
sure.
Something French food before, too much cream, too much butter. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little more light.
Uh-huh. What about pastry today? I it's funny because I have a poster at home of Carême, the famous pastry chef. And there are all these, like, really strange, like, sculptures of pastry, and I kind of think it's come in an evolution, in a circle, that, you know, there were really, for me, I like really the simple pâtissier boulangère, the little tarts and the things like that, but now everything is plated desserts with these, like, giant towers, and you kind of go, how do you eat that? How do you think Carême influenced that? And how do you think people today have made it the modern style of dessert? Do you think that's a good dessert now? And then what are they going to do to make it different? After Carême.
After Carême, yeah, it's some pastries very nice. But example is people when you go restaurant when. American dessert, so
uh-huh. High like a tower.
Tower, because it's American. You understand everything went big. When I come first time in state on work le chantilly, mm-hmm. my dessert is very flat. Yeah. Customer make complaint. What is that? What is this guy? What is it from? Mm-hmm. So after is Thomas Harris. Uh-huh. David Ruggiero told me, oh, you need to make a high because America, everything tall. So, no, make a tall.
So it has to be a show then. But in some ways, that's what I think Carême was trying to do. It was making pieces. So pastry, I think, I mean, or cooking, or even like bread, there's the elite bakers or the elite chefs who have the really great competitions. And then there's the chefs in the restaurants. Where do you see there's a difference or a correlation? How do you think they're going to? What is the next dessert going to be? What is going to be flat desserts again, or is it going to be in between everything?
Yeah, I think maybe flat. The same story, real test. I think because. Everybody want to go organic, everybody want to use not too much sugar, not too much cheese. I think next 5 years, maybe 10 years, the people in the country go for something from Europe, real taste. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. Yeah.
And what is the trend in chocolate today? What are people eating in chocolate?
I think people want to go for much bittersweet.
Uh-huh.
65% cocoa, 70% uh-huh. cocoa.
And is it are they little bonbons that they're eating, yeah. or chocolate bars like Americans love?
Yeah, chocolate bar, different flavor. Example now is too many people allergic for
nuts. Yeah.
For me, it's very surprise.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what is basically only state people
have allergies.
Allergy for nuts. I don't know why. I don't know what is the reason.
Somebody said that to me recently. They said, how come Americans have so many allergies?
Because, I don't know, when my doctor is American, to me, because of what people... young people eat too much
junk food.
Yeah, peanut butter. So after it go for generation to generation, and now it's a generation, new generation.
Yeah, and the immunity. Allergic, yeah,
he's allergic for everything. Yeah.
Hmm.
No, it's something. It's something for bread. Last 10 years ago, now I have a good bread in New York City.
Yeah.
Now you have Tomcats.
Yeah.
Pain d'Avignon,
yeah.
Balthazar. So I think American go. I'm American now.
Yeah,
2 years ago. No, but American go for good, very good
quality.
Good quality, pay more, but yeah. People want a good.
Good flavors.
Good flavor, good quality.
Well, I talked about that to some people in the business about how. When I was in Paris, what I found was, wow, every corner has a boulangerie, yeah. a restaurant, a neighborhood restaurant. I mean, it's just the capital of food for me. I mean, people say, oh, New York is the capital for America. But what I find missing in America, or in New York specifically, is there isn't a good neighborhood boulangerie. You have to buy from a really big place.
Yeah.
Or do you think that's going to change, too? Is there going to be a place where you can have your local boulangerie or your little pâtisserie?
It's possible maybe tomorrow if a real estate go down, is a landlord of a building, is a think of logic.
Mm.
It's possible. And now is the rent is too expensive. What is possible? People open a small bakery, a small small place in the village, so Lexington, Madison, it's too expensive. So it's bad because it's much better when you have movement, a small store, and a customer go, okay, I go something France, okay, I go my bakery, I go my butcher, I go specific, I go my fishman, understand? New York, no, people go market.
Yeah. Go to the big store and buy everything.
Yeah, but you buy everything, but sometimes not too fresh.
Yeah. How different is it for you to work now in the United States in comparison to France? A lot of people say that France, there's too much bureaucracy, that the system is not really pro-business in a sense. So do you find that it's... better to work here, or do you kind of miss France?
No, I don't miss France. It's much better work your state. For my part, if simple plan,
uh-huh.
if I open a business in Paris,
uh-huh.
and I'm making wasabi chocolat, curry chocolat, or what you want, everything fusion, people uh-huh. think I'm crazy.
Uh-huh.
And I think today I'm not. Hôpital, psychiatric hospital.
so you're too avant-garde for Paris.
So, and, New York, you have more opportunity for go the way because too many different cultures and Americans is very curious, is yeah. very open for everything. France is very very close, traditional. Last time I send chocolate from my mother is I make simple coffee, vanilla, and I make anise. Anise, French people drink a lot. So people make question my mother. So what is the test? Is it something crazy test? Is anise is nothing. It's from Provence. Sure. No? People don't have not training. No, ils sont pas habitués.
Quoi. Yeah, they're not ready to accept
things. So okay, praline, pistachio, vanilla, café.
Well, that's what I found too. Was that French are really traditional in what they do, but yet there's something really great about the tradition too. So you miss some of the tradition, but sometimes you. And it's strange because France is so centrally located in Europe, and it's the the farmers. Paradise, it's the breadbasket. But they don't accept other things from other countries, other flavors. You'd think, wow, and be a little different.
Yeah, it's true. It's my city is 55,000
people.
Is one Chinese restaurant, one Japanese restaurant. So
not much choice.
So I say, okay, the Haute-Savoie is the country for cheese, reblochon, milk, but bon, people not ready for
that drastic.
Sushi.
So they haven't become globalized yet.
No, Estet is beautiful for opportunity. If you want to go crazy, make a crazy stuff. Okay, you make a crazy stuff. If you make a mistake for open business. American people give to you more chance for open second business. It's a second business go down, make more chance. If you France, if you one time you make a mistake business, no more because you're stupid.
And since you make chocolate almost every day or virtually every day, what is it that you still love about chocolate? Is it hard to go in and go, oh, I don't want to taste any chocolate today, or do you still love chocolate?
Well, I still love chocolate, and more times coming, more good idea coming, more crazy idea coming. So I like I want people go something new, more crazy for chocolate, you understand? For I want competition. I want good competition. I'm very happy because some customer coming to me, your little brothers, la maison du chocolat.
Well, it's also good to, I think, to have different people's chocolates. And I've noticed when I go to certain places and I taste it, I go, wow, it's completely different than what I tasted at this guy's place.
Yeah.
So that's good that there's not only one chocolate, one Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
There's many Willy Wonkas. There's many masters of chocolate.
Yeah. And then New York City is going. When I starting last, is 5 years ago, is one, three people, Jack Torres, Andrew Schott and me. Now is I don't know, but now after 5 years, 14
chocolate makers.
14 chocolate makers, yeah. But how long is there?
Yeah, it depends.
It depends.
Yeah.
Because,
and how hard is the chocolate business today with so many people opening chocolate?
Yeah, so you go, you need to go best way. You need to give best quality, you need to give the good price, and you need to give the service. Mm-hmm. And, if people call me Saturday night for delivery Sunday morning, I go delivery Sunday morning because you need. You need to go different something people. Yeah.
What is I have a specific taste for chocolate, and my sister's from Switzerland, and I like the chocolate in Switzerland, but I love Belgian chocolate.
Yes.
And then there's some people who like really French chocolate. So what's your, from all those countries, really, where's your favorite chocolate produced?
For me, is from Switzerland, people have a nice chocolate milk,
mm-hmm.
because you have a nice cob and make a nice cream.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's very famous. And from Belgium, people go for nice praline, nice molding, very, very nice. And it's French because people go different way for different origin, different roasting, different want a mix. So every tripart very, very interesting and very, very different.
So they're all good then?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're being a politician. How hard is it to become a chocolatier? I mean, how many years does it take to learn if you're an American guy saying, hey, I want to become a chocolatier, how do I do it?
5 years. Maybe more.
And where?
5 years.
And where do you have to go to become a chocolatier?
Same thing with my training. You go for roasting. After you go for enrobing, after you go for make a ganache, bonbon, you need to fast 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
Basically, every something bread or pastry, you know, make nice bread tomorrow. You need a training. Basically, the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the feeling. If you have a good feeling for. Make a chocolate. You stay on the business. You stay chocolatier.
Yeah.
Something pastry or bakery. Make a bread. If you have a good feeling for make a bread, people stay on the bakery. I don't want people go for mode or. Well, it's very interesting for one times short times. It's very interesting. Okay, in my life. I make chocolate for 3 years, okay, after I go different routes, bon, depends people, it's something, is a mode, you understand?
Yeah, sure.
But if you go good feeling, you stay on the business, something, everything for cooking, or bon.
And have you ever visited any of the countries where they produce the cacao beans?
I go to Venezuela 7 years ago. And now I have a project for Korean television. So it's a project for go Africa 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Make a documentary. So... when go Africa after go take away for go Africa beans finish chocolate. Uh-huh.
So you'll produce the chocolate that you pick or?
Yeah, the program educative for, uh-huh. For school. Just 1 year ago.
Oh wow.
Contact from the channel, television channel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I went to Latin America and to Ecuador specifically, I never understood about chocolate, how it was really, you go to school, you don't really pay attention, but then when you go and you see it, you go, wow, they're fermenting it in the street, they're drying it in the sun, and then you think, wow, I wonder what the rest of the process is.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, some countries, very, some countries, Ecuador, Venezuela, a lot of products. Some countries, something Mexico. Okay, first time Mexico is basically the first people use
the chocolate.
Chocolate, but now it's a plantation, it's very, very poor.
Mm.
So it's very bad because Mexican people bought beans from the state, the yeah. state people bought the beans from Africa.
Yeah.
So it makes confused.
Sure.
If you go on the system, you know what is the problem, you understand?
Sure. Sure.
He knows. He's looking in the newspaper, oh, is the chocolate from Mexico?
Yeah.
They, everybody believe, okay, oh, is the bar, 100 grams, is $9, because from Mexico.
So the reputation is all, yeah.
You understand? You know those before?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Mexico, I mean, that's the Aztecs were the ones drinking cacao. And
yeah, last 1,000 years ago, and now no have no more.
They don't have a market for it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because in Ecuador this summer, it was in December I went. It was summer there. we were going by plantations that used to be banana plantations, but now that they're having tariffs with Europe and the United States, and now it's terrible. You can barely get a really great banana from Ecuador.
Yeah.
So everything's from Central America, but now they're all growing, like, the best chocolate in banana country.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was driving, my brother-in-law told me, he goes, yeah, everybody's getting rid of the bananas and they're just planting chocolate because there's such a high demand for it. And I was really surprised.
Yeah.
So there's certain areas that have specific cacao beans that they grow. There's the lesser ones, and then there's the super
banana.
No, the super cacao.
Cacao, yeah.
So I was pretty shocked. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's you need a 6 year for when you starting a trail, when you're starting for a cacao year.
Yeah.
You need a 6 year. After 6 years, give a small first product.
Yeah.
And after you go something. 2 times, 3 times a year product. Right. Every cost is a 3 times a year product.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it has a higher yield in the. But those countries also have problems with the wars and revolutions.
Yeah, military.
Yeah.
Yeah, corruption. Yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. They're almost like diamonds.
Yeah, because when is a farmer sell, is a. Is a 30 cents a kilo beans, yeah. And when the chocolate comes on the market, is between $3.50 to $7 one pound.
Yeah,
c'est crazy marge.
Oh
yeah, but farmers don't make money.
Sure. So they're slaving for chocolate for us to have our candy bars.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's sort of sad.
And some farmer. I have too many contact from Ivory Coast. Mm-hmm. Some farmer don't know what is caca is beans. Yeah. They don't have knowledge what is
the market is.
What is the market?
Yeah.
You want to make a lacto product, but you don't know what is after. Sure. It's crazy.
And I also in the cocoa business, like coffee business, there's the middlemen who are the people who sell the beans, so yeah. They're making the profit and
And for a very good plantation, something Venezuela or Venezuela Ecuador is a big company, Cacao Barry, Valrhona, but production,
mm-hmm.
Production or récolte,
the growing, yeah,
trier before.
Wow.
Maintenant, Cocobarry Valrhona bought for 2010.
Wow.
It's ready, but
it's already bought.
So, if you want to go, make home process,
yeah, yeah, it's not gonna happen.
It's not possible when people when you have after. You understand?
Imagine if like Chavez or one of the presidents in one of those countries goes. We're nationalizing the chocolate. People would go crazy. Have you tried the chocolate that is produced in Hawaii? I know there's a company that's making Hawaiian chocolate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't have to.
Yeah. I haven't tried it either. I heard that they were starting to grow there. So.
Asia starting for Asia. Singapore starting. Uh-huh. They don't make couverture.
Uh-huh.
Make only cocoa butter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because the beans over there is very good for only for
cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how important is the cocoa butter in the process of making chocolate?
When you go, after torrefaction,
uh-huh.
You have two parts.
Right.
Donc, you have one part, you will go couverture.
Right.
We have one part, you go cocoa butter and cocoa powder.
Uh-huh.
Do you know El Rey?
Yes.
El Rey is a Germany is a Germany business.
Uh-huh.
It's almost 100 years ago. It's from Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
And, before it's very famous for cocoa powder.
Uh-huh.
And last 10 years ago, it's starting for
couverture.
Before is before when it's starting is 100% Venezuela, but it's a part, it's a plantation part, it's very bad for make a couverture.
Uh-huh.
So it mix from different different plantation for make a good couverture. For me, it's from El Rey, it's too acid because it's something. Sometimes it's a cocoa beans from basically Venezuela is too much humid,
uh-huh.
So it's long go dry
uh-huh,
inside.
Yeah.
So it's stay humid.
Wow.
And when you go torrefaction, it's humid comme fermentation.
Right.
And basically it's a news when last, I don't know, 20 years ago, is Valrhona starting this process. Basically, when you recolt cocoa beans,
you harvest it. Yeah.
Okay, you go on the sun for 2 weeks on the sun for dry.
Uh-huh.
Then Valrhona go recolt and go torrefaction. Wow. Don't go dry. So you have something acid.
Uh-huh.
Acidity on the,
so they are looking for that acid taste.
He look for his acidity. So Valrhona is very good for something when you make a dessert cake. Uh-huh. It's very, very nice.
There's a bitterness to it.
But when you go ganache for it's very, very complicated because you don't know what is the reaction for it. If you go for 100%, 72%, for example,
yeah,
it's okay. Vanilla is okay, but when you go for spice,
yeah,
you have reaction, acid plus spice.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's pretty horrible.
Oh.
And also that I've noticed that when I've used Valrhona before, it separates really easily. It's a very difficult chocolate to use.
Yeah.
For pastry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's too, people don't use lecithin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically something organic.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. How many companies in the world?
A lot.
For chocolate, a lot.
And there's more coming up. I mean, there's like Scharfenberger.
Yes.
There's Girardelli.
Yes. Is a market. Is have a report February have a report for is a market state for sale chocolate candy is 17-18 billion dollars.
Wow.
It's a lot of market, a lot of money.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And how difficult since, well, I mean, there's a lot of growing countries. But if you have a really bad year, how do those companies compete for the chocolate? I mean, the highest bidder gets the most, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's a blood and chocolate business.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, people go, people, business go grow up because a lot, I think, maybe New York or state, the future is a lot of small, chocolate maker. I think only one or two companies or three companies, maybe something. No?
Yeah.
You don't think?
Well, I mean, I've seen small little places, but then there's the really big, the giants.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when I went to Ecuador, I met this guy who makes candies, and he also has chocolate that he processes himself. And just talking to him and saying, hey, I know somebody in New York who makes chocolate, and, you know, I should get you guys together to see, you know, if it would be interesting. Goes, and I said, how much do you make? And he says, oh, I make like 100 quintal. I said, what's quintal? I said, I guess that's 100 something in some kind of weight in the...
100 kilo?
No? Yeah, I think it's 100 kilo. I said, I don't think that's enough chocolate. But I'm sure it's a good amount.
He make everything, roasting?
Yeah,
everything.
He roasts it and processes it. Yeah, and it's all organic. It's really beautiful. He has a sugar cane field. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
It's amazing, the flavor.
I bring a contact.
Yeah.